Lord Jesus, I humbly submit to you this morning, asking that you would speak, that we would hear, that our minds and our hearts would translate what you are speaking to us, that we would have a heart attitude yielded to you this morning. In Christ Jesus, I pray, amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let me read the first five verses here. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for this generous gift that you have promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. So I want to start here. We're going to get into some of the nuances, but Paul here, he seems to be responding to this church kind of almost sarcastically, in that he's, the way that this is written, it's in this context of, hey, listen, you've said that you're going to do this. I want to make sure that your giving matches up with your words. That's what's going on here. So that when we do come, if I were to bring any of the Macedonians with me, and we were to sit down, and then the gift that you promised that I told them because you pledged it doesn't actually happen, then we're going to be in a bad place. Sorry. So since last year, you've been ready. You've been in this process. We've given you plenty of time. I'm coming. Hey, please be ready. Because any time our words don't match up with what actually happens, we present ourselves as hypocrites. Right? And Paul doesn't want that to happen for this church, because the Macedonians have already been inspired by the Corinthians, and if any of them were to find out, this pot gets stirred and names and accusations get thrown about, and when our words don't match up with what actually happens, we end up making fools of ourselves and ultimately fools of God. We become ashamed and the name of Jesus gets devalued, and that's not what we want. We want his name to be known throughout the world with this concept of generosity. And so before we go any further, I think we have to say, give what you say you are going to give to God. Do not boast and then follow through and not follow through. Give what you say you're going to give to the Lord. I've seen numerous examples of this go wrong in this world. And consequently, then, a lot of churches don't like to have these kind of conversations about giving to God because it's been so misrepresented around the world. I was early on in ministry, and there was this pastor guy that I was following, and he was raising money to build an orphanage in South America. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And money comes pouring in, and then nothing. I didn't hear anything about the orphanage at all, so I started researching. The orphanage didn't get built, but a brand new, amazing home got built for the pastor that was raising money. When our words don't match up, then we get devalued, and so does God. And so Paul, before he goes any further, says, listen, you've said you were going to give this. We're coming. I'm going to send some people early on just to have this conversation with you so we can be ready. So then when we get there, we can celebrate. Let's keep going. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 9 says, Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. They would be well familiar with the farming analogy here. A farmer is not going to go, what he has, he's going to place in the ground because he knows the abundance will flow. And similarly, Paul is saying, listen, the investment that you make, the more you invest, the more God's name gets to be spread around the world. So be a part of that. And then he says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. And I believe this is in the context here, and it's overarching context. And just to kind of go back a little bit, in Old Testament law, when they worshiped God at the temple, there was a 10% tithe. Actually, the name tithe actually means 10%. A 10% giving to the temple in both whatever came out of the ground and your resources and your money. But then you gave out an abundance of that so that the average Jewish person gave about 23% to the Lord. There is nowhere in the New Testament where that tithe is mentioned in the church apart from Matthew and Luke when Jesus is talking to Pharisees about the tithe. Even in that context, he talks about the hard attitude. Now, am I saying that we should not tithe and give to the Lord? Absolutely not. What I'm saying is, when we come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, our heart is paramount. God is not, I don't believe, this is Jeff saying this, I don't believe he is concerned about percentages, he's concerned about our heart. He's concerned about our heart. And literally all we have is his. Now, personally, my wife and I start with 10%. If it was good enough in the Old Testament, I believe it's good enough in the New Testament. That's our starting point. And then out and above that, we ask the Lord how we can be a part of what he's doing. So I believe that the 10% is a great starting point. You just won't find it if you look in the New Testament, but that doesn't mean that it's not a starting point for us. And Paul says to the church here, hey, listen, have that conversation with the Lord so that you're giving out of a heart attitude, not out of like frustration and anger and out of concern that something will happen to you. So Annette and I always, we hone in on what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. And I always believe, especially when you're spouses, God will align the two of you. Over and over and over again, we've seen that happen in our lives. But the point was not to, so that you are giving out of frustration or anger or compulsion, because God's grace is free. You cannot buy your way into the kingdom of God. He gave freely to you. And he asks us to give freely back. It's an attitude of worship. So our thankfulness is an attitude of worship. Our giving is an attitude of worship. And it starts with a heart attitude before the Lord. God will bless you in your giving and will supply all you need. And it's having all that you need is the context there. When you look at it in the original language here, it's this understanding of contentment. So you will find people in the New Testament, Paul himself, who had times of want and times of plenty. And he would say, even in those times of want where I feel like I don't have all that I need, I have all that I need. He reiterates this concept in Philippians chapter 4. And it's actually When you get a chance, look at Philippians chapter 4. He says, I know what it's like to be in plenty, and I know what it's like to be in want, and I found the ability to be content in all circumstances. And then the verse that gets misused all the time, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That verse was not about power to overcome a hill or win in a sporting event. It was about being content before God in whatever we have and being a part of being the blessing that he allows us to be a part of, contentment. And then he lands with this quote from Psalm 112:9, that our giving doesn't make us righteous. Giving is an outpouring of Christ's righteousness already imparted on our souls. We don't become righteous by our giving. He, Jesus, makes us righteous. And as we give, we get to outpour what he's already done in our hearts, minds, and souls. Amen? Whew, come on. I said that Annette and I have had this several opportunities, and I love how God works in this capacity. And when you sit and ask God, tell me what you want me to do, I believe he always answers. I really do. So we start with that 10% in our giving to our church here. And then we go, Lord, what do you want us to do? And there's been times in our lives where we've had very little, and God has asked us to do big things. And I remember this one time, we were like skirting the line, and we were like, man, I don't know how we're going to pull this off. And I heard about somebody who was in need and what they needed, and I felt like God say to me, I want you to give them that. And I was like, Lord, I don't know. I can't do that. If I do that, we're going to be in trouble. No, I really want you to do this. So I go to Annette, and I was like, Annette, I just really think God is calling us to help this couple out. And she was like, oh, good. And I was like, what? Just so you know, and she's the voice of reason in our relationship most of the time. And so I went to her to tell me no. And she goes, man, I was praying, and I felt like the Lord say, hey, I want you to do this. And she's like, I was sitting there going, Jeff's going to kill me. Like, and we were like, all right, Lord, we're going to do it. Like, we're trusting you. And we gave, and I kid you not, the very next week, we got the exact same amount back. Somebody goes, hey, you know, I don't know why, but the Lord told me to send you this for whatever reason. When we stop and ask the Lord and our heart gets aligned with his heart, whether we're in want or in plenty, I really believe that even in those times of complete dependency on him for the next paycheck, he sees us, loves us, and is with us. Let's keep going. Verse 10 says, now, he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you have performed is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also an overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them, with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He who supplies all the need will give you what you need. And here they increase your store of seed and enlarge your harvest. You will be enriched in every way. And I do want to say that I don't believe this is saying if you give to God, he's going to make you rich. I just don't see that as you read the entire context of the New Testament. If that was the case, then Paul, who is the greatest, arguably the greatest presenter of the gospel, maybe in all of history, would have been a wealthy man, and he's not. There's times where he doesn't have need or want, and there's times where he's shipwrecked and stoned and battered and bruised. So the context, I really believe here, when you look at it in the rest of Scripture, is that when you give to the Lord, you play a part in the bigger picture. And there's times in which in your lives when you will give and you may not see what God is doing, but he's doing and increasing. And so every seed you plant grows and grows and grows and grows because God desires it to do so. So your generosity will result in thanksgiving. Every time we give to God, God uses it for his glory and his name gets made known. And when it blesses somebody else, they turn around and praise the Lord for it. When I was handed that envelope that helped us get on that strategy to getting out of debt, I cried, I wept, I maybe danced a little awkwardly. I praise God that he imparted that desire in somebody's heart, mind, and soul. And so that seed that was planted brought glory to God, and his name becomes known. And as they give, and as they give, and as they give, Christ's name is made known, and he gets praise and glory over and over and over again. So that, church in Corinth, when you come, when I come to you, when you give, understand the immenseness of what's going to happen through God's work that you get to play a part in. I love that God chooses us to be a part of the process. He could just demand it. He could. He could just demand it and take it, but he doesn't. We get to be a part of the generosity of God. And I really believe that generosity is hardwired into us at creation. This is why, despite whatever is going on in our heart, minds, and souls, when the studies are done at Christmas time, whether it's better to give or receive, the numbers are overwhelmingly, I love giving gifts as opposed to receiving them. I love to give, I love to give, I love to give. That's why when there's a need and somebody posts on social media, hey, give to this, GoFundMe, and here's what we're trying to get to, and you see these stories, it goes well beyond that. There's this concept of generosity that's hardwired into us. So why not align that generosity with the God who created you? Why not join in to what God is doing and desires to do in and through us? So that, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God freely gave to us his son Jesus. How can we not want to worship him in every way, shape, and form? And a part of that is giving to him. So when you give here to Living Christ Church, you play a part of being part of, we will love Nyack, we will listen to God, we will change the work of the Holy Spirit, we will invest in people. When we become a generous church, the world gets to see generosity that comes from God. When you invest in this church, when you invest in God through this church, our little kiddos downstairs get to hear about how amazing God is. Those who find us online get to hear about how amazing God is. The people in this community that we get to bless through the different things that we do here, whether the Thanksgiving meal or the trunk or treat or the Easter egg hunt or loads of love. When you give, you get to be a part of all that. And so any time that Jesus' name is made known, you get to be a part of that. And if that doesn't fill your soul, please come talk to me. When you get to play a part of what God is doing, it doesn't become a chore. It becomes a, I get to be a part of what God is doing. We had Sutton Sinalau here a couple weeks ago, who played a part in sending out, who are changing lives in Cambodia. So it's not just here, it's literally around the world. You get to be a part of what God is doing when you give. And when we look out and we stop looking in, we get to see what God is doing. And you are blessed, and those around the world are blessed as well. I really believe God is calling us to a heart attitude aligned with Him. And when you get to be a part of that, so, so good. So in this season, we've said, after International Candy Day, before Consumer Christmas, let's stop, let's take some time to give God praise and adoration for what he's doing, what he desires to do. And let's give freely to him in heart attitude of worship. So I want to land with this. If you haven't given to God, or you haven't, or you've done it infrequently, would you consider taking the time to say, God, what are you calling me to? What are you calling me to? If you haven't prayed about this in a while, would you make space during this season to have that conversation with the Lord? Would you listen so that you can play a part in the bigger picture of what God is doing? Because I'll tell you, when I've had those moments above and beyond what I normally give, when I've had those moments of fear and trepidation, and then seeing what God has done, I can't help but praise him. I've been both beneficiary and benefactor. And it is so, so good. Let me pray for us. Let's just take a moment and sit, listen. God, you are so good.